programming, learn a little Nitziv in the sections introducing Har Sinai. Some very interesting concepts. So first of all, when Yisro encourages or advises Moshe, good morning, advises Moshe, there's a very long laundry list of prerequisites for the hire. Who are the people that Moshe has to find? Ve'ata techazu mikolam, anshei chayil, yirei elokim, anshei emes, sonei vatza, loosely translated leaders, people who are pious, yirei elokim, people who have honesty, integrity, intellectual honesty, anshei emes, sonei vatza, people who are looking to profit off of their title. These are the four qualities that Moshe should be looking for. There's an old joke. Moshe turns to his father and says, Yisro, where could you find people these days that have integrity, that have leadership skills, that are pious, that don't want any money, that don't want any profit, can't be bribed? So Yisro looks at Moshe and says, you know, it's tough, but for these days, for money, you can find anything you need. So Moshe goes out. It's an old joke. So my father loves telling me this joke. Anyway, my father has some great jokes. So, but when Moshe actually makes the hire, when he's on the selection committee, when he's on the admission committee to Yeshivas Moshe Rabbeinu, so Vayivchar Moshe Anshei Chayil, Mikol Yisrael. See, people who have Anshei Chayil, he doesn't find people who Yirei Elokim, Anshei Emes, Onei Vatza. So the Nitziv notices this omission. The Nitziv says, at least in those days, you can assume that people who are Talmidei Chachamim, all the moral traits of honesty and piety and honesty in monetary issues, not profiting, not stealing. In the ideal world, those come from learning Torah. And the big debates in the 19th century about whether you should or shouldn't learn Musar, and there really were big debates. I mean, there were fistfights in some of the yeshiva of Europe over learning Musar. How could you steal time from Talmud Torah? How could you study these light little storybooks about moral development? And there was a famous meeting between one of the Talmidim, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and Rav Chaim about this, a famous summit meeting between Yitzchak Blazer, Rav Chaim Balazer, and Rav Chaim Ibris. And the position of the establishment before Musar made its way into the mainstream was based on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. A person who learns Torah, the Mishnah says, lists 27, 28 traits that will come naturally. You're sitting in learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, and it's a spiritual experience. How could you not be humble? How could you not be pious? How could you not be friendly? How could you not be... Take all the traits that appear in a Musar Sefer, and they'll all emerge naturally from Talmud Torah. And the claim of the Musarniks, which is a legitimate claim, is that in the modern era, unfortunately, there's been a severance between Torah study and personal, religious, and moral development. The people are studying Torah, but it just isn't percolating down into their subsystem, into the neshama. And that's where the Musar movement emerged. And you know, I don't know how many people really are avidly committed to the Musar Sfarim written then, because Musar is very, very historically contextual. It's very hard to read Musar and to apply it when it's written in a different cultural context. You need people that are modern to give Musar, and to at least write Musar, to give Musar, and to address modern issues. But so this is what the Nitziv is saying. Moshe didn't have to worry about piety. He didn't have to worry about graft. He didn't have to worry about integrity. People that learn Torah, especially from Moshe Rabbeinu, you can only imagine. You can only imagine one man sitting in front of Moshe Rabbeinu or Har Sinai learning Torah. These are pious people. However, there's one trait that you can't assume Torah produces, and that's leadership. Wisdom to lead, the ability to lead, that's not something that you can just clock in and check in and punch the ticket. Oh, he's Talmid Chacham, he's definitely going to be. Leadership skills are something very, very different. So when Moshe chose, he said, look, I'm taking Talmid Chacham, that's obvious, you're going to be Dayanim, you have to know a little bit. Once you're Talmid Chacham, I assume you'll be Yirei Elokim, Anshei Emes, Sonei Vatza. Anshei Chayil, that was a separate checkbox on the interview. When they're Talmid Chacham, Moshe could assume they had all the other traits. But whether they're Anshei Chayil, then Moshe had to ask a few separate questions. And it is true that we find people who are big Talmid Chachamim, and it's just not their thing. Leadership, again, I don't want to open that big, big Pandora's box. Unfortunately, that's one of the misused and misrepresented words today. Leadership skills and leadership seminars and leadership conferences and leadership and leadership and leadership. To be very, very careful what leadership is and what leadership isn't. When's the time to be a leader? When's the time to continue? I'll never forget pleading with a couple of boys here in Yeshiva. 25 years ago, there was some program to be a leader, and they wanted to leave twice a week to go to the leadership conference conversation. Yishlomi said, you want to be a leader one day, sit and learn with all your fiber and all your being for a few years, and then one day you'll be a real leader, and then you can add those skills. They didn't listen to me. I don't think they're such big leaders today. So you have to be very, very careful about timing and what leadership skills are, what they aren't. But either way, it's not something which is an automatic. It takes wisdom, it takes courage, it takes patience, it takes proportion and perspective. It takes a lot to be We say the word leader today, charisma, and how many followers we have on Instagram, and how we're inspiring you. No, it's wisdom, thought, patience, understanding, personal example, long term. Not for now. Okay, then the section of Har Sinai begins, and there's a long-winded introduction. You'd expect, okay, B'chodesh HaShvi, let's say it's B'nai Yisrael, Me'etzem, B'yamazeh, B'avet Bar Sinai. They get to Midbar Sinai, and Hashem should tell Moshe, get ready, it's happening, 3 days. Get ready, here are the technical needs. Basically, separate from your families, get ready, separate the mountain, as we see. But there's this beautiful poetic interlude. Atem Risem, you saw that what I did to Mitzrayim, and I'll carry you on the wings of eagles. Asa Aschem HaKanfei Nishim, some of the most poetic lines. And if you listen to me, and you follow my bris, you'll be Skula Mikol Amim, Kili Kol Aretz, and you'll be on Lechas Konim V'Goy Kadosh. Eila Dvarim Hashem Devel B'nei Yisrael. So Moshe conveys this, and then the technical details begin. But why this whole introduction of three or four psukim? I carried you on the wings of eagles. You saw what I did to Mitzrayim. You'll be a Skula. They're there. They won't accept the Torah. They're obviously at Har Sinai. They're going to say yes. Hashem doesn't have to seduce them with these poetic lines about wings of angels and skulam and machz konim v'gai kadosh. So each one has their own purpose, but the Netziv feels there's a larger thing at play here. When we think about Har Sinai, we think about hierarchy. Kodesh Baruch Hu commands, and we admit, we accept. Kol Asher Divrei Hashem Naaseh V'Nishma. The hierarchy is altitudinal. Hashem's in Shemayim, we're at the foot of the mountain. Moshe ascends to the mountain. There's fire, there's fear. It's very, very clear that there's a difference between commander and commandee at Har Sinai. But yet, when you read Shir HaShirim, Har Sinai is a wedding. Har Sinai is a marriage between two parties, between two equals. And that element of the wedding doesn't really come across that much in the Torah. Where do you see Matan Torah being described as a wedding? As a chesed nirayich, avas klulasayich, aviani, abesa melech, vidiglo alai ava, el besi mi, v'el cheder harasi. These are psukim in Shir HaShirim, which Chazal interpreted to mean a wedding at Har Sinai. So there's an old var that when Hashem lifted the mountain, and according to the pashas of the Gemara and Shabbos, He was threatening us: if you don't accept the Torah, Hashem te'kivuraschem. Is a different shot. That's really the chuppah. Hashem lifted the mountain and turned it into a chuppah. Okay, but that's not pashup shot in the Gemara. Where do you see the wedding? So the Netziv says this is the wedding. Before a wedding, both parties sit down and make an agreement: what I'll do for you, what I'll do for you. Again, today in our world, it's more implicit. In worlds in which people date. Much less, let's say in the Haredi world, where after 5-6 days you make a decision to marry, it's a whole different set of circumstances. But being that there's not a deep bond already after 5 or 6 meetings, it's something you'll grow into in their world. So you sit down, who's going to pay for what, who's going to do what, and certainly in the older days when romance was much less highlighted, you sat there and you said, I'll do this for you, you do this for me. For us, more or less, it's implicit, right? If you're dating a girl and you bond with her very, very deeply, she understands you're going to support her. You're going to give her, because she knows to trust you, because she's learned to trust you, and she's learned about your life and your goals and your values. Right? So either it's implicit, but when it's not implicit, then it's explicit. So you sit there and you make agreements. And you say, this is what I'll do for you. Again, when you date someone for 6, 7 months, 8 months, and you fall in love, it's implicit that you're going to love and care, because you've already lived together, not together, but you've shared enough time together that you just assume that's what's going to continue. So here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu marrying the Jewish people. Before the commandments begin, before Har Sinai begins, says, look, you saw what I've done for you. You've already had a little experience. We went out a couple of times. We went to some good restaurants in Mitzrayim. I showed you what happened. Atem Risem Mishar Sisi the Mitzrayim. And this is what I'll do for you. I'll carry you on the wings of eagles. And this is what I expect from you, my wife. So these aren't just poetic images just scattered around before Har Sinai begins. That's what we think. Har Sinai really begins when the arrangements are set. Who's going to go where? How many days? Who's on the mountain? Who's not on the mountain? This is not just Hashem introducing Har Sinai with these poetic promises. There's a structure here. There's a larger play at work. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating a marriage. And in a marriage, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is what you're going to do for me. Number three. One of the interesting words, fascinating words, is the word segula. Just to show you how dorky I was when I was in elementary school. In my elementary school, there was an honor society, like those who had the best marks. But in those days, it wasn't just the best marks. There was also the people who were keep davening on time and goody two shoes. Let's just say I was a goody two shoes. I quickly changed my colors in high school, but for a while, I was goody two shoes. So the name of the club was the Segula Club. You were the Segula. And you walked around with big pins, white and blue pins, Segula, to walk around class here. The big pin on your lapel. Yeah, dorky and embarrassing. Years of therapy to recover from walking around with a big pin. Actually, in fourth grade, there was the entry. It was like the JV team. So it's called Chavivin, which is the uncle is for Segula. So in fourth grade, you got to be in the Chavivin group with a yellow pin, which is even more dorky. And then when you graduate, I think it was fifth grade, you graduate into the Segula Society. So what does Segula mean? It's a strange word, right? I'm Segula. Well, it's a strange, strange word. What does it mean? So what Segula means, it's a treasure. It's a king's treasure. So we assume that the pasuk means V'yisim li Segula mikol amim ki li kol haaretz. Hashem will choose us as his treasure, which you particularly cherish, you particularly value. So we are the treasure of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the simple shot. But the Nesiv has a different shot. Li Segula mikol amim means a treasure chest is a chest that you put extra coins or jewelry or ornaments into. And he basically says as follows. Okay, I'm going to paraphrase. It's not literally what he says, but paraphrase. Before Matan Torah, there was much more theological pluralism. You could find a Kadosh Baruch Hu through different ways and different cultures, got close to religion in ways that weren't necessarily regulated. And we see Malki Tzedek being a religious figure. And we see so all types of people, even that aren't in the Jewish tradition, finding, thinking, discovering. Once a Kadosh Baruch Hu delivers Torah to Am Yisrael, that becomes the only route towards full monotheism and full HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you want to be a religious person, even if you're not a Jew, you have to be part of this treasure chest. You have to put yourself into the Segula. Basically, Segula Mikol Hamim. It's a more of a universalist tone. Not just you'll be my selected people from all the other people. I don't care about the Italians. I don't care about the Spaniards. I don't care about the... I just care about you. No. There are people in those worlds that will be religious, but now it has to be through your experience, through Har Sinai, through Matan Torah, Ki Li Kol Haaretz, because now I am the God of the entire world, and now for them there's much less freelancing. Now there's a clearly stated set of principles, clearly stated set of moral principles, clearly stated set of theological principles, clearly stated set of mitzvahs, and have to perform mitzvahs. But this is the microcosm through which other people are going to find me and access me. So, V'yisim li segula mikol hamim, now if anyone wants to be, as we would say, from, but not a Jew, and wants to be religious, it has to be through the Jewish experience. And what that means, he seems to say you have to be a ger, but I'm not sure how literal to take it. That means the only way to be religious is to become a Jew, and it doesn't reconcile with our... We're not missionaries, and we don't want everyone to be Jewish. What I think he means is that the Jewish ideas of religion, as distilled in the Torah, then become ideas for humanity. And then again, as I keep telling you, historically, Christianity and now Islam are horrendous crimes against Judaism. But theologically, we have to take out crusades and inquisitions, but theologically, basically, they lifted Judaism. They distorted it a little bit. They perverted it. Christianity is more of a perversion. Islam is less of a perversion theologically. And then they spread monotheism. So essentially, this is a prophecy that what's happening at Har Sinai will become the treasure chest. So anyone else that wants to build religion will be placed into this system of Segula. And that will be their religious identity and their religious system. Okay, so three really interesting nitzivs. Number one, all these traits will come from people of Talmidei Chachamim, at least in those days, but not leadership. Leadership, wisdom, that takes something else, a little different. You can't just sit, and I think today, this is just my rant for the morning, part of what we're seeing is that we're seeing a displacement of the center of authority from communities to yeshivas. 200 years ago, there weren't yeshivas, there weren't big yeshivas. So rabbanim were rabbanim of people, of communities, that are small base matters, larger base matters. He's not learning with 20 people in town, 25 people in town, 40 people in town, the people learn with him. The Pnei Asherah didn't have a yeshiva with hundreds of people. Wasn't serving lunch. Wasn't serving schnitzel. And they had towns and they lived with people. Over the last 200 years in the yeshiva movement, so today, who do boys look to? Who do boys want to bring in for the Masada Kiddush? The Rebbe, maybe they had a yeshiva. Good, bad, neutral, whatever it is, but there's been a shift. And now people that don't leave the yeshiva environment, they end up commenting on social issues and on larger, not controversial issues, but sensitive issues. And if you never leave yeshiva, again, depending upon your emotional intelligence, your exposure, then it's very hard to understand the nuances of society and be a leader. In the base matters, everything is black and white, right? In the base matters, goyim are snakes, and secular people are scorpions, and you know, just lift up the Gemara, lift from the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, and anyone that wants to chas shalom change halacha, yishachar nachash. And then when you get into the real world, you realize that it's a little more nuanced and there are particular needs. And sometimes, I'm saying this to the defense, it shouldn't be that way. People should think before they say. But sometimes when you hear big Talmidei Chachamim say rather erroneous or absurd things, then it just means that they just haven't had enough public encounters and their leadership skills are a little bit weaker. And unfortunately, in some, especially in Haredi society, sometimes the leaders are chosen based purely on, in some cases, Talmudic capabilities, not necessarily seeing, that doesn't mean our community, we're immune to those types of leadership miscues. But it's just, it's a very important nitziv. To be a leader, it's not enough to study Torah. Second nitziv is this whole introduction. It's not just Hashem scattering some poetic ideas. Oh, you'll be this, you'll be that, you'll be this. Kadosh Baruch Hu sitting across the table with him. Let's get married. Before we start the commandments, let's get married. This is what I'll do for you. This is what you do for me. It's a courtship. And then finally, excuse me. No, I tested before. It's never test call. And then finally, Segula doesn't mean I'll choose you from the other nations, but I'll choose you to be a conduit for the other nations to access me. Have a great day, everyone. Have a good day. Stay healthy. Stay well. Stay alive.